It was a very terrible time. The crops did not grow that year. Many people were killed, and it was during that time when most of our knowledge was lost. The ones that survived knew they had to keep alive the knowledge, 70. The legend of Stark Rush, that they still had, even though it was not nearly what our people once had. And it took many generations for the paths of the moon and stars and sun to settle down again. After two or three generations, the wise men observed the paths and tried to figure out what had happened. They realized that they were much more complex now. The path of the moon and the path of the sun no longer coincided. D. It was no longer exactly 12 moon cycles. B. It was more like 13¼ or something like that. I do not know. I'm a hunter. Before the change occurred, anyone could keep track of it. It was easy. The wise man and the elders knew the reasons behind it. Then when the change occurred, so many were killed that very few knew the reasons behind it. They ended up dying, to where the wise man was left with very little knowledge to work with. And he tried to figure out what happened to the paths of the sun and moon. D. Something definitely must have happened at that time. You said there were bright lights in the sky and the earth shook. Do the legends say what else happened? B. It is said that at one point the paths of the stars and the sun reversed temporarily, to where the sun was rising where it should set, and setting where it should rise. The legends do not say how long the sun was rising where it should set, but after the first time when the earth shook and there were lights in the sky, the wise man thought the sun was rising where it should set and setting where it should rise. No one could keep track of time then, for all the movements of the stars and the path of the moon were backwards. How can you keep track of what time is passing? And then it does not say how long, but after a period of time something else happened. The earth shook some more and the sun once more began rising where it should and setting where it should, even today. But now the paths of the moon and the stars are no longer with the path of the sun. And it was very complex to keep track of it now. D. I bet that it was a frightening thing to see. B. Yes. It is said it was very, very wondrous and terrible. D. How did the people die during that time? When the moon walked a different path, 71. B. With the earth shaking and such, it was very stormy. They said the winds protested and were crying to the Mother Earth. And they were blowing so hard that they made trees fall down, so people were killed from things falling down and flying in the wind. D. Before this happened, were the seasons different? The hot and cold, were they different than they are now? B. Thinking, the length. They were slightly shorter than they are now, and they always coincided with the cycles of the moon. The year seems to have lengthened after that happened, but not by much. To whereas now the growing seasons still coincide with the cycles of the moon, but the exact seasons according to the solstices and the equinoxes do not coincide with the cycles of the moon. It is said that the weather was different. That the winter winds came from a different direction and summer was then a bit longer, but not too much different from now. The main difference was the direction of the winter winds that they had to adjust for. D. Do you know what direction that was? B. No. The legends say that it was warmer. It was not as cold. Life was easier, for the summers were warmer and the winters were not as harsh. There was not as much snow or rain. It was very difficult when the earth walked a different path and the year became longer. D. The days were different lengths. B. The days were a little bit shorter, but not by much. It was mainly the years that were shorter. D. But, you said in midsummer the days are very long. B. That is the way it is now. D. It wasn't like that in those times? B. Not as much. The days were still very long in the midsummer, but there would still be some darkness. And in the middle of the winter the nights would be very long, but there would still be some light during the day. It is more extreme now. It was not as cold and there was more rain than they have now, less snow than they have now. D. I wonder what that light in the sky looked like? B. Well, there are several descriptions and they seem contradictory. Some of the light was like the winter light, but very fantastic. In the 72, the legend of Stark Rush, colors that they come in, red, blue, green and white. and there was many of these to where you could even see them in the daytime. Normally they are there in the winter and you just see them at night. I thought he was probably talking about the northern lights or aurora borealis. D. But during that time there were more? B. Yes. And they were seen in the daytime as well, and now they are never seen in the daytime. It is usually at night. Also, there seemed to be a comet in the sky at the time, and it seemed to fly down to the earth. But it is said that the wise man that translated this thinks they did not actually see it fly down to the earth, but it seemed to be heading toward the Earth Mother. Then when the earth started shaking and things went bad, the comet was no longer seen. D. Do you think it might have hit the earth? B. The legends say it may have. But they look so small in the sky though. You know, you could cover all the parts with your hand and fingers depending on how far away they are. D. Do you see many comets? B. Not many. One or two. When you first see them, they are very small, and you could cover them up with the joint of your little finger. Later on they seem to grow and get larger and cover more of the sky until they pass and get smaller. Then one night the sun sets and you do not see them anymore. D. Do these happen in the winter or the summer? B. The comets. Either, it does not matter. These comets appear when they appear. D. Do legends say what a comet might be? B. No. It is just a star that walks a swifter path. D. That would be a good description. You told me there was one group of stars that the old ones were very interested in. Did that also change position in the sky during that time? See chapter. The old ones were interested in the Pleiades. B. Well, all the stars shifted positions, not just those. The stars themselves stayed in the same position. It seemed like we had moved, or when the moon walked a different path. 73. D. B. 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 They had all moved together. Will you remember these things I have told you about? Yes. I want to help so they won't be lost. Have you caught very many animals while I have been talking to you? No, not really. I was enjoying telling you about the winter nighttime lights. They are very beautiful. I have been following some deer though. I ought to be able to get some when we are through talking. I've never seen those lights. They must be very beautiful they are. Sometimes the women will weave a patch of cloth that hangs on the wall. The lights look like this when the wind is blowing. He was making waving motions with his hand, but you can see the sky through them and you can see that there are different colors. I was not sure what he was talking about. Oh, you mean the cloth is very thin? No. The lights in the sky. Beauty who said weave a cloth? I was using it to compare with how the lights look in Fresky. Beauty who will be able to see them in the sky this winter at night time. Just go look it probably didn't look at the right time, or didn't go outside when just they were there. Well, it is cold in winter. Yes, that's probably why I didn't see them. Do ever see those lights any other time off thy ear? Well, sometimes in the dark of night we see them, but in the summertime it stays light most of the night, so you do not see them very much. The sunlight overpowers them. So we mainly associate them with winter because you see them so much in the winter because it is dark. What about the fall and spring? Well, it is proportional to how much darkness there is. It occurred to me to try to find out if the legends mentioned dinosaurs or extinct animals. This would help me to date the time of the old ones. 74. The legend of Star Crush. D. Do you have any legend of Tinimal State might have existed that were different than they are now? B. There are many legends about animals, most of them we tell the children. D. Yes. But was there ever a time when the animals were different? B. Yes. I am not dear about the details. It seems, if we are listening to the legends, that all the animals were somewhat different. They have changed. There are not big differences, just small ones here and there. So that if one were to go out into the woods with the animals, like they were then, it would look subtly different. You would not notice it right away. Some animals would be slightly larger or slightly smaller. Their coats would be slightly different, or some would have a different number of toes on their paws. As I said, subtle differences. And some legends say there were some animals that looked like they were in between animals that we have today. One legend talked about an animal that when it had children, some of its children were very large and some were very small. The large children grew up to be bears and the small children grew up to be raccoons. This sounded like one of two in stories for the children. B. That is one of the legends. It is true that the raccoon is a little brother to the bear and they look very similar. But it would have been a strange set of parents indeed to come up with such different children. D. But in raccoon a different color? B. Not that much different. Besides, the colors do not mean that much because the coat color can change with the seasons. It is the build, the way the bones do that count. D. Well, doesn't the raccoon have different markings than a bear? B. Somewhat. The facial markings are different. But who knows, when the bear had a long tail maybe its tail was striped, too. I laughed, we do not know, now that its tail is too short to have any stripes on it. D. Are there animals that change their coats? B. Yes, there are some. The animal that hops and the animal that pulls its claws back change their coats. I am not sure about the bear. Sometimes it seems that they do, and sometimes I wonder if it is true, when the moon walked a different path. 75. Different bears. Usually bears are black or brown, and sometimes, usually in the winter when it is snowing, I see white bears. It could be that the black or brown ones change their coat colors like the other animals do, or it could be a different bear. It seems like it looks a little different. I have not really figured it out. We only see them in the depths of winter when there is a lot of snow. It is always by accident, so I do not really know where they stay. D. Do you have any other legends of animals that were different in the time before? B. Let me think. Some of the birds used to be different. Their colors, D, B, have changed, it seems like. If you follow the legends, the changes have been gradual. According to the legends, some of the crest of feathers on their heads used to be shaped a little bit differently. Not drastic, just slightly, and it has altered a little bit. Most of the legends about birds are for children, like the one about how the blackbirds came to be. Yes, you told me that one. See chapter 9. I really cannot think of any other animals that have changed. I wonder if the ear were some kind of animals that are not there anymore. Do have legends about some that have disappeared? There is a legend about a strange creature, I do not know what it could be. This creature was supposed to be very small and could fly like a bird, but it would sting like a nettle. It is said that this creature liked to sing and it was always humming real high. We have nothing like that. I do not know what it could be. I thought at first he was talking about a bat, but the singing wouldn't go along with that unless Duin had the ability to hear sounds that are out of our normal range. D. How could it sting? B. It was said that it would bite you and suck your blood, and leave a welt behind. They were considered to be very irritating. There were other flying creatures that were small. They would either hum or buzz or they would do some sort of singing. But we do not have them now. 76. The legend of Star Crush. I was trying to figure out what this strange sounding creature was. D. This would have been a strange creature because a bird can't bite. B. It was said that it was as small as the tip of your finger. That is really small for something to have wings. He made hand motions to show the size. Now I was really confused. It couldn't be a bird or a bat such as I was imagining. Only insects would be that small. D. Do have insects who live? Hesmed confused by the word, bugs? He still seemed confused. I know you have bees because you talked about honey. B. Well, we have bees but not many others. There are some creatures in the woods that seem to be related to bees. What is the word? Dot. Wasps? Dot. Is that a word? D. Yes. That's another urchin. It doesn't make honey but it's like bees. B. Yes. And there are small creatures that live in the ground and the bears like to eat them. But I pay no mind to them. Possibly grubs. D. This oni you were talking about that was as small as the tip of your little finger, could it be something like that? B. Ugh. Not a bee, not a wasp. It is said that the legends also describe bees, and the description for bees are different. Apparently these others were smaller. I do not know how, I have never seen any like that. D. I was thinking it might have been something like that, rather than an animal bee. Well, the bees are animals, too. D. In a way. Yes, I suppose they would be. It depends on which class you want to put it in, which category. B. They do not have roots and leaves like plants. They do not sit still in the sun. They move around like animals. D. Well, I always think of an animal having fur. B. That is own type of animal. Some animals have fins, too, you know. D. You mean fish. We always buy the ones that live in the water and have fins all by themselves. B. Oh, but that is stupid. They all dance the dance of life and they all sing the earth's song. When the moon walked a different path, 77. D. We put the birds by themselves, too. B. You are strange. D. When I think of an animal, think of the larger ones that have fur. Now I can understand your terminology and the way you think about them. It was useless to argue against his beliefs and terminology. His logic often seemed to make more sense than ours. When I asked the question about extinct animals, I was thinking of dinosaurs and such. I was not expecting him to answer with a description of something as minute as a mosquito, which is probably what it was. His answers were often amusing and always enlightening. D. Are there any legends of large animals that may have disappeared? B. There is own. I am not sure what it is called. I can describe it. It was said to be as big as a house. It had horns like oxen and large ears. And its nose could not be told apart from a tail. Long fur, lots of fur. I do not know what it could be. It sounded like something ferocious to hunt. I would not want to, it would be difficult. It would supply a lot of meat though. It was said to be very good to eat. D. Where were its horns located in the body? B. In front. The legends are not clear if they were horns or long teeth. They describe it both ways. D. Maybe it was two different animals. B. I do not think so. I think it is just something that has crept into the legends. D. Were the horns shaped any certain way? B. They were curled. They would go out straight and then curl up and around. She made hand motions. It was obvious he was describing a mastodon or mammoth. B. D. B. D. B. In the legends they were said to be very dangerous. When did these disappear? When the earth changed its path. Were there any legends of anything else large like that? Not that I can recall. It is said that the cats used to be larger. They are large enough as it is, I do not worry about it. 78. The legend of Star Crush. D. Do the legends say anything about snakes? B. The legends mention snakes. We occasionally see a couple, but we really do not have that many. It is said that when the earth changed its path, the snakes did not like the upheaval from it and so left. The fishes changed. Apparently the waters used to be warmer, and the fishes that liked cool waters better stayed. That is, since the old ones had no legends of dinosaurs, they must have crashed after their time, but before the time of some great cataclysm. I found that there were four major advances of ice during the Ice Age, between which there were periods when it melted back. The last ice sheet disappeared from North America between 10,000 and 15,000 years ago. With the retreat of the ice, many forms of animals became extinct, to be replaced with modern animals. Among those to disappear was the mammoth. In 1989, the nearly complete skeleton of a mammoth was found at 9,000 feet in central Utah, setting a high altitude record for the extinct mammals. The mammoth was believed to have become mired in a bog at the edge of a glacier 10,000 to 15,000 years ago. This historical information gives us an approximate date for the crash of the old ones. Could the catastrophe the legends spoke of have been intense enough to cause part of the Ice Age? After Beth awakened from the deep trance, she had a few memories of a scene she had seen. This often happens even with somnambulists. They may not remember much about the session and the story they have been relating, but they will remember bits and pieces, and maybe a certain scene. This is very similar to the way we remember snatches of dreams when we awaken in the morning. She described it to me. B. I remember a feeling of deep, crisp cold like in the depths of winter, and I remember seeing the northern lights, aurora borealis. The curious thing is that I've never seen these in real life. D. Neither have I. He said they're most noticeable in the winter. B. That's true, but you have to go further north than here, in Arkansas, to see them. D. And they were common where Tuin is. When the moon walked a different path. 79. B. I've heard tell that in our part of the country in the depths of winter, at certain times you'll see traces of them when you're looking north, sometimes during the meteor showers or solar flares. But it doesn't happen very often. Yet I remember seeing them very dearly during the session. They are out at night. They look. She had difficulty finding the words, almost like fireworks. They look like ripples of energy. She made a whirring sound, arrah. D. Whirling? B. This is hard to describe. The major line of it, like the base of it, for example, would be like in a squiggly line. But it would be a series of bright lit points, with energy running upward from it, like a curtain of energy. Tuin was trying to describe it and he mentioned something about a curtain, and I couldn't see the connection. I didn't know what he meant, a curtain of streaks or what? 80. The legend of Star Crush. She then drew a picture of the aurora borealis as she remembered seeing them. She thought this would be easier than trying to describe the phenomenon. B. It's in different colors. There were deep reds or blues or violets or greens usually. D. I've had them but I've never seen them. B. That's the way with me. And this sight of seeing them, in my mind, seems to be associated with cold weather. I consulted the Collier's Encyclopedia for information about the aurora borealis. Tuin was correct in describing it as resembling a curtain. They are called curtains of light, and often appear as draperies. The display usually starts as a homogeneous arc, identical or uniform parts, which is one of the most common forms and has no ray structure. The brightness may be more or less constant in time, or show pronounced pulsations for periods of less than a minute. If display increase in brightness, the homogeneous forms often break up into rays, ray arcs, draperies, or a corona in which the rays opto converge overhead. The flames are strong waves of light moving rapidly upward and are often followed by their formation of a corona. Although the cause of the auroras has eluded the scientists, it is believed that it is linked with solar flare activity occurring on the sun. The maximum zone of frequent occurrences of aurora seem to extend around the globe from Alaska, Great Bear Lake, across Hudson Bay, south of Greenland and Iceland, and north of Norway and Siberia. The main land masses where the phenomenon can be seen are Alaska, Canada and Norway. This information helped to pinpoint the location of Tuin's group. In our present time, the maximum seasonal activity is at its peak in equinoctial months, spring and autumn, March to April and September-October. Tuin said it occurred during the winter. Could this be an indication that Tuin was located so far back in time that the seasons were different? Or that the auroras occurred at a different seasonal period than they do now? When the moon walked a different path, 8, auroras of low intensity appear as white. The colors in our time have been observed as yellowish-green, and occasionally violet and red. The colors are caused by nitrogen and oxygen in the upper atmosphere. The atomic oxygens are responsible for both the yellow-green and the red auroras in ray forms. The strong emission of molecular nitrogen are seen in red or violet auroras at the bottom of arc or drapery forms. Tuin saw deep reds, blues, violets, greens and whites when he looked at the auroras. The slight difference in colors, blue for instance, could indicate that the molecular composition of the upper atmosphere in his day contained a heavier concentration of certain elements. It could also mean that Tuin's eyes saw the color spectrum differently. Tuin's comments about the length of the day and the night during the longest and shortest days of the year again points to his location being in the far northern hemisphere, north of 66.5 degrees north, the Arctic Circle. There are 24 hours of darkness on December 21st, and 24th hours of daylight on June 21st. Since his length of days and nights were not total darkness or sunlight, I would suspect that his region was slightly south of the Arctic Circle. This information combined with his mention of the Aurora Borealis points once again to the Alaska-Canada region. There are parts of Siberia that fall within this area, but I believe because of Tuin's reference to various animals and other identifying factors that he was living in the far northern part of the North American continent. Chapter 7. The Blanket Design. Another method of learning about Tuin's people was to ask about clothing. Certain types and materials are distinctive with certain time periods or countries. D. Where do they get the material to tee or clothes are made different? B. I am not sure. I am usually hunting. A lot of skins are used. There is a plant that the women use. They get the stalk of this plant, and I think they soak it in water somehow and sometimes beat it between stones. But I am not really sure what the order is. After they soak it and beat it to separate the fibers, they spread it in the sun. D. Wouldn't the fibers be very short? B. Well, they twist them together to make them longer. Hand motions. They also get the hair from the goats. It is soft and makes good cloth, but goat hair is short, so I imagine it will take a lot of it. The women have things they weave them on. I do not know how it works though. It is very mysterious to me. D. But then you hunting would probably be mysterious to them. B. I think you are right. I suggested once when the women were low on fiber, I pointed out to them that the bark of trees have fiber in them. Why not try that? They agreed that the fiber was there, but they did not know how to prepare it to where it would be fiber and not bark. They said it would be too much work. I am just a hunter, why should they listen to me? But I told them, why not keep it in mind? 82. The Blanket Design. 83. Tuin described the plant that was mainly used for the fiber. It was about mid-thigh high, consisting of a central stalk with broad, flat, pointed leaves. These leaves were about an inch and a half wide, coming out of the stalk on four sides in a spiral. The bloom, at the top or crown of the plant, was a small bluish-purple flower with a yellow center, enclosed in a cluster of leaves. The best fibers for clothing were in the stalk. This description fits the flax plant, which has been cultivated since prehistoric times for the use of producing linen. He said there were various kinds of looms. A large frame was used for the blankets. He used hand motions to demonstrate that they wrapped the fiber around shaped sticks that were passed back and forth. His explanation showed that he had apparently watched the procedure, but did not understand it. Some of the women could weave quite rapidly. There was also a smaller frame that was used to make strips of cloth, such as that used for a shirt or belt or something similar. This would hook to the wall, with the other end hooked to their clothing. They would lean back to keep tension on the material. D. Do make your own clothes? B. Usually, except when there is a girl or a lady of the village who wants to become on better terms, smirking. D. Laugh. How do you sew the skins together? B. There are fibers in an animal's body that you can use. Fibers that join the muscles, the meat together. You can use this or you can use small strips of skin. And I punch holes in the skin and lace it together. These are skins that have been cured. First I use my knife to cut it into the shape that it needs to be, and lace them together with the small strips of skin or the fiber from the animal's body. D. What do you use to punch the holes? B. Oh, usually I have a small bone. There are small bones that are sharp. And if I do not have a small bone handy, then perhaps the tip of my knife. D. Very clever. I was surprised to hear that Tuin also enjoyed doing a type of weaving. B. Those are the things that I like to do in the winter. The days, or, 94. The legend of Stark Rush, rather the nights I should say, they get long. You must do something. Foo, just sit there, the walls close in. And you know I do not like being under the roof anyway. So one of the things I do is get cords and thongs and tie knots in them different ways and work designs with the knots. I know it keeps me from underfoot, it keeps me out of trouble. Sometimes I keep what I make, sometimes I give it away. It depends on what shape it takes. One lady took one of them and hung it up on some hooks and she uses it in place of a cradle. And someone else took one and hung it from the ceiling. She uses it to divide one of her rooms. During another session, I was able to get information about the plants used for dyeing cloth. B. I have been in the woods hunting, but not for animals this time. I was being lazy today.